Would please turn your copy of God's Word to Psalm 3. The past few sermons that I have preached to you, we have heard much on spiritual warfare. I wanted to consider a psalm that deals with this topic. Give us something we can pray and read. As we endure that. Psalm 3. This is God's holy word. A psalm of David. He fled from Absalom, son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, answer me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. Before we hear the word proclaimed, let's again ask God's blessing on you. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do find ourselves many times under. Though few suffer the physical attacks endured by David, Father, we ask that you would have mercy upon us, that we might hear, that we might give attention, that we might have the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and minds, as we are led through this response to attack by your servant David, and indeed by Jesus Christ. God, help us, aid us by your Spirit, we pray, to have ears that hear, eyes that see, hearts that love, desire your word, seek to fall after. Grant our request, we pray. Jesus' name. How do we respond when we are attacked? Might be a response of fear, dieting, might be a response of bitterness. Against God. There might be a response of anger for the one who is attacking us. Maybe we just want our revenge on this person or these people who attack us. This is a particular kind of attack here in Psalm 3. It's an attack focused on attacking the one of faith. Attacking on the faith, even, of this one who confesses God. You might imagine in our own context, in our own day and age, not enemies rising up against us with weapons, although that can happen. We might imagine an enjoyable professor who laughs at your faith and your God. We might imagine the fun-loving co-worker whose fun is the idea of fun is more and more sin. You might imagine the snide remarks of an unsaved spouse, and even scorn an unsaved child or grandchild. There's an order to the book of Psalms. I hope you might have noticed that as you read Psalms. I hope you realize that as you read the Psalms, and you walk and you read the Psalms, they are arranged. They're arranged for a particular reason. They're arranged to point to the need for a representative who can accomplish for Israel what David could not. Psalm was put in this final arrangement likely after the exile. So Israel is asking the question, what now? There's no king on the throne. So it's arranged in a particular order to point forward to a king who would come and accomplish what David did not. And of course, that king is Christ. But in relation to Psalm 3, I want you to notice Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. have your copies of God's Word open here. Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 form a prologue, if you will, the first part of the Psalms. Help us arrange our thinking as we go through the Psalms. Look down at Psalm 2, and look down at verse 7. Again, this is, verse 6. The response of God to the nations rising up against God's people. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep pleasure. Now notice what it is that God says. I have set my kingdom on my holy hill, Zion. What is the thing that's going to put the nations in disarray? It's that God is sent to rule over his people. He sent Jesus Christ. Now, it's because there is an appointed king on the holy hill, Psalm 2, that we read in Psalm 3, look down at verse 4, he heard me, his holy hill. So this is the confidence of the psalmist, that his prayers and our prayers are unanswered by God. So Psalm 3 comes after Psalm 2. That's why I learned this in a minute. But it's a particular arrangement to focus our attention on this one who will come after David, to accomplish what David cannot. Psalm 3 is also a song of lament. I may not have heard that word before. It's like crying out to God in times of difficulty. It's like crying out to God in times of difficulty. It's a song then, Psalm 3, offered in faith, and put one that is asking how long. God is asking why God has brought this at this time. But it's a cry of faith and belief. Shows us godly use of emotion, timeless, waiting, comfort us under attack, given to us for this purpose. There's one thing here, that God is at work even in the midst of it. Even when the psalmist is under attack, God is still at work. He's still accomplishing his purposes. So we're going to hear the recounting of the attack during the psalm, response to the attack, and then the result of the attack. Recounting of the attack, the response to the attack. Well, God is working through the life of the psalmist. How should we respond when our faith comes under attack? Now, it's going to feel personal. It's going to feel on purpose. It's going to feel like this person or these people are attacking me and my church. But it's really an attack on our faith. We need to see it that way. We respond to it that way. So, verses 1 to 2, respond with awareness. Respond with awareness. Now we respond with this awareness of spiritual attack and attack on faith. Because God hears the prayers. God hears the prayers of people. It's an awareness of faith. We're not just walking around assuming that God is not real, assuming that our faith is not real, assuming that our enemies are not real. He reads Psalm 3. He missed how the psalmist responds to this. There's also a sense of urgency for that. Many are my foes, many are rising, many are saying. It's overwhelming to this attack that is coming. How is also the claim of the enemy of God, those who are without faith in Christ? What do they say? There's no help. No help for him in God. That's what they're saying. That's the attack. To claim that God is not who God is. God is not all-powerful. It's a claim that God is not faithful, or at least he's not going to be faithful to you. Us. To claim that our God is no better than you. Interesting, in our time, back to this idea of other gods. You have people who are literally worshiping Norse gods again, in paganism. They're saying that our God is no funny, that our truth is no better than their truth. Attack on faith of God. That is attack on God. So what do we need to do? We need to do up the songs. He's leading us in our response. We must be aware that these attacks are never just mental. They're never just emotional. They're never just physical. There's always going to be a spiritual component. We must be aware of the spiritual component. So when our faith is attacked, we must understand what's going on. We must respond with awareness. We must know in ourselves, in our own thinking, what's going on. And then we should respond with assurance. To respond with confidence in God. This is verses 3 and 4. It's not self-confidence. David isn't saying here, Absalom's coming against me, and I have mighty armies. He's not saying, I'm a great warrior, I've done this before. No, he's crying out to God. Psalms cries out to God, not try to manipulate God. Not to try to get God to do something different than God has determined to do. This is a statement of faith in God. Calvin says, a soldier under attack like this, not to defend them by our friends, but to defend them by our friends. Now that should sound familiar. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 6. We put on the armor of God by praying. Friend, in the face of the loud cries of the wicked who say that there is no salvation in God, what does the believer do? He cries out to God all the more. Cries out to God all the more. Notice then his confidence in God. There's a contrast here. I don't know if you picked this up as I read it. In verses 1 and 2, we find the many repeated times. Many, many, many. The overwhelm of the attack. But what is the response? What does David bring in response to this attack? It's many times. He has three titles of God here. For each attack of these wicked ones, on with who God is. He is a shield. David says, my comfort is not the shield that I put strap onto my arm. My comfort is that God is my shield. He is the glory of his people. We have a glory that puts empires to shame. Yeah, have you ever read about Rome? Aqueducts and their roads and their armies. All their glory, all their wealth. It's nothing. Where is it now? Gone. But we have a glory that does not fade away. It's not just our salvation. That we are God's people. God is our God. And the third thing, he is the one who restores them. You, Lord, are shield. You are my glory. Lift up my head. God is the one who rescues. That's David's. That's the contrast. Confidence in God. And then his confidence is also that God hears. God listens. God answers his prayer. And each time there's an attack that comes, each time God's people cry out, each time God delivers, this becomes a ground foundation for more and more builds and grows. Turn with me, if you would, over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5. I want to read through verses 5 through 10. First Peter 5 through 10. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. That's similar to what you heard in speech. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, you want more grace? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Rest is coming, the deliverance is coming. Beyond that, there's an exaltation of the world to come that's greater than anything we can imagine. How do we humble ourselves? Casting all your care on him. Humble ourselves by praying. We humble ourselves before our God so that he might exalt us by praying. Why do we pray? He cares for us. He cares for his people. Now, why all this humility? Why do we need more grace? Why are we looking forward to that exaltation that will come? Sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, and speaking whom he made as white as a lion's roar. Something and gets him. Looking for something to attack. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering we are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Not alone. You're not the only person. You're not the only Christian. You're not the only church. In fact, there's others who are suffering with you in the world. You're not alone. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, this is what God has. This is the danger, but this is also the remedy. God will answer it. If you want to turn back to Psalm 3 and listen, I wanted to develop this a little bit from Scripture and kind of give us a feel for this in terms of who God is, his Father, Son. We pray expecting God to answer. This is what Christ says in Matthew 6. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need. He's listening. He's waiting for you to come with your prayers, your requests. Luke chapter 18, there's a parable that Christ told. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. You may be familiar with these parables. The parable of the unjust judge, the persistent widow, kept knocking on his door, day in and day out. Get justice for me. That's what Christ is talking about. Why did he tell that parable? Because we're supposed to be praying. Always praying and never giving up, never losing heart. Will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. It's God who is like that. So we go to him over and over and over without end, persistently, without losing heart. John chapter 15, we have more on prayer from Christ. I chose you, again, to speak to the apostles, appointing you that you should go in their fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So what is that fruit? They were going to go and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ as rescue for those who had broken God's law and who were under God's justice and judgment. And then what happened? Churches all over the world spring up. That's the fruit of their proclamation of this good news about rescue. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. So again, this context of churches being planted, of this good news of salvation going out into all the world, of the hatred of the world in response to this, what does Jesus say to his apostles? Pray, Father will hear you, will answer you. We pray the same prayers. God, rescue. God, deliver. God, establish your church. And we should have every expectation that God will answer the prayers. Here's the prayers. Let me wrap up this second point with Romans chapter 8. Because it's not just the Father, and it's not just the Son, it's also the Holy Spirit. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us. The Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. When we pray for what God says to pray for, God hears our prayers and He grants our requests. It won't always be the way we want it. It won't always be when we want it. But God will answer. God hears prayers of His people offered by the Spirit through the Son. When our faith is attacked, then we should respond with assurance. We should respond with awareness. First and second point. And then thirdly, last point, 5-8, the rest of Psalm 3, we should respond with acknowledgement. Respond with acknowledgement. God rests in verses 5-6. What do the many matter if we have verse 3? What do the many matter if we have God as our shield, if He is our glory, if He is our rescue? So we acknowledge God. We acknowledge God. Rest in Him. This is complete trust, confidence in God, Him alone. One commentator says it this way: awakening, help, and safety, he feels grateful to Him to whom he owes it. It is the result of the fact that the Lord supports him, and God's hand is put. God's hand. Resting at night, not rest. That's what comes. That's real. The unbelieving and the believing both have reason to fear in this. There are always going to be attacks. But the believer eventually overcomes. The believer eventually overcomes. Because God is at work. God is at work, verse 7, to overcome all of His and our enemies. Although the many rise up against us, God is going to rise up against them. Although they say God cannot or will not save, what does God do? He saves. He delivers. And although they say things that are not true, blaspheme God, their voice will one day. One day there will be no more blasphemy, no more attacks, no more outcry, no more falsehood, no more lies about who God is. One God. God overcomes all His and our enemies. Why also should we acknowledge, should we respond to the fact of acknowledgement? Because God alone, verse 8, faith knows, believes, and rests in this. Salvation belongs to God. Not David's armies. Not us. It's not what we can do. Salvation belongs. These attacks are never only against just one person. Not just David who's being attacked. It will never just be you by yourself who's attacked. I mean, it's not coming to you by yourself. But these attacks are attacks against God. These attacks are attacks against God's people. God's people have His favor. He identifies Himself with us and us with Him. He puts His name upon us. We are called by His name. Those who attack us, by extension, attack God. Not that they just hate David. Not just that they hate us. They hate God. They hate God. Because God works through these attacks, we ought to respond. Respond to them with awareness of their spiritual nature. Respond to them with awareness, of God's mercy in the midst of them. And respond to them with an acknowledgement of who God is and praise to Him. It's deliverance. This attack upon David's life, upon David, was a consequence. His own sin. Because of his own sin that Absalom rose up against him. Spiritual attack may come because of our own sin. Maybe something that we have done in violation of God's law that attack comes against our faith. Now, in this case, is Jesus who is the perfect king. He is the one who has never sinned. In him, we have his goodness. That's what salvation is. That's what we receive when we rest upon him by faith. We receive his goodness, his innocence, his perfection placed on us so that we can face these attacks no matter where, when, or why they come. Same confidence as we read in the Psalm. It was Christ Jesus on the cross who responded with, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He is risen from the dead. He has ascended to heaven. He has conquered over sin and Satan and death and the world and its opposition to God. He delivers us from our sin. Because Jesus handed over to you, we are held in God. For those of you this morning who are resting in Christ, who are trusting him, the faith, the confidence, all of your hope placed in Jesus Christ alone. Stop. Don't be surprised. The attacks are going to come. They will be directed at you personally. They will be directed at your church. It will come against all Christians everywhere. Don't be surprised. Your faith is attacked. Very often in our day and age, this comes in terms of simply scorn. People are less. Right? It's not that your coworker is going to walk up to you and talk to you. He's going to laugh at you. He's going to attack your faith that way. You also need to be aware that the attack against our faith often comes in the form of entertainment, by making sin look appealing. Making sin look appealing. Don't watch a movie without thinking. Don't listen to a song without thinking. What is this person saying? What are they portraying? What are they saying about God? What are they saying about God? Are they trying to make sin look appealing? Don't listen. Don't watch. God doesn't save us and then deliver us from all trouble. That's not how this works. So be on guard against unbelief. Be on guard against unbelief. Sorrow is normal. Fear is normal. Doubt is normal. Anger is normal. But always come back. Rest. Goodness. Rest. Goodness. Always return to trust his work to bring good out of evil. You're going to see much evil in your life. You may have already seen much evil in your life. Remember Joseph. God used Joseph and this great evil and sin against him to bring great good. And you won't always get to see how that works out in your life. But trust in the one who's working good out of evil. Trust in him. Remember that your God is your protector. He is your avenger. Talk about that last. That someone would go out and avenge you because we have a whole justice system that works. God is the judge who will take care of those harmed who will avenge you the attacks that are brought against you. Not your place. God will take care of you. You are not left unprotected. He will not fail to bring you, by trusting in Christ, to the peace, the new heaven and the new earth. There will be no more attacks. There will be no more fear, no more doubt, no more unbelief. There will only be peace forever and ever. God is with them. That means he will take care of you. That means he will rescue you. That means he will take care of all your needs. Remember then that your greatest enemy is not people. Your greatest enemy is not people. Your greatest enemy is sin, Satan, and death. is natural and unnatural, right? None of us are supposed to die. Adam wasn't supposed to die. Created to live forever, right? And yet we all die because Adam sinned. So we all know that we're all going to die. All know that we're going to die, but death is an enemy. Don't lose sight of that. Death is an enemy. Death will be conquered by Christ. Jesus has defeated each and every one of these enemies already on the cross, and he will bring the completeness, the fullness of that defeat and death Satan when he has the reality of it now, and the fullness of it when he comes again. Already conquered your sin. He's already defeated death by his resurrection from the dead. He's already conquered the evil one by his work of salvation. Have that reality now. You have it. You have the fullness of it. Own eyes. Christ in you. Pray Psalm 3. Use this song as a prayer. Pray as a defense against these attacks when they come upon. Now, if it's useful for that, it's useful for many other things. So use it when you're tempted. Pray when you come under an attack of sin from within. Pray when you're tempted. Respond to trial. You're not under attack. There's no sin. It's just difficult. Something has gone wrong and I just don't like it. Pray. Be always praying. In temptation, trial, difficulty, when these attacks come, our tendency will always be to focus. What's going on with you? Why is this happening? Turn your focus back. Turn your eyes back. Back to you. Back to what he is upon. But if you're here this morning, you don't have this protection. You don't have this Savior. You're not resting in this Christ, this King. You may not think of yourself this morning as an enemy of God, or an enemy of God's people. But if you're not trusting in Christ alone to save you, if you're not resting in this hope, then your hope is in something else. You're trusting in something else. You're going to someone else for help and safety. Some other thought, or some other idea, or even what you can do. Means that you're violating God's trusting him. Rest. This disobedience against the God who has, against the God who is pure, against the God who is just, against the one who is goodness itself, means that you have made yourself to refuse protection. In the camp, you do that. No neutral position. This means that when you're attacked in this life, attacks come against you personally. You have no protection. You have no rescuer. You have no deliverer. So let me say to you today, stop trusting false hope. Stop resting in places that are no rest. Stop trusting your family. Stop trusting your parents. Stop trusting the church that you go to. None of these things will save you. Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ will save you. Come to him today. Trust in him today. Confess your sins. Trust in him. The psalm reminds us that God's faith. Reminds us that he is all powerful. Calls us to rest in him, the one who brings good from every evil. Our God, not just a rescuer, not just protection, enemy. Our God is a God who takes him. Own enemy. Takes the sons of the Most High God. That we dwell in glory with him. We have all the glory of heaven forever. Sons who were enemies of God. What an amazing God, greater than our